Today I'm going to be talking about the third chapter in the Anatomy of Healing Prayer, which we're reading right now. This is the second volume in a series of three that the trio is called the Holmes Paper. And the talk I'm giving is the chapter is based on a talk he gave back in 1958. And it's called Healing Awareness. Now, these talks were compiled by a gentleman named George Bendel. And they were given to some of his closest friends in the last year or so of Holmes's life. And when you think about it, it represents really the culmination of years of study, reading, thinking, talking to people about metaphysics and also based on his experience with organizing the religious science movement. So Dr. George Bendel was a close friend of Ernest Holmes, and he was a pastor in the Founders Church as well. I think George Bendel was? He served in a bunch of communities in Southern California, but by training he was an engineer, and he was exempted from military service during the Second World War by President Roosevelt because he was such a prodigy. So the man was clearly very, very bright. So when Holmes's wife Hazel died in 1957, Holmes was extremely lonely. And so he had Dr. Bendel move in with him for some companionship. And there's some funny stories if you read any of the Holmes biographies about what it must have been like to live with Ernest Holmes. But anyhow, so it ended up being a very productive relationship, as you can imagine. These three volumes are amazing. And I sometimes think of them as the capstone project of religious science. If you're in grad school, you always have a capstone project. And that's what these books are. So Holmes himself was very interested in the topic of healing. He was a remarkable healer himself. He'd studied people like Quimby and Mary Baker Eddy. And he believed that medicine itself could be helpful, but he really didn't take any medication himself until the very end of his life, when his liver started to fail, and maybe his heart as well. So his belief was that when all else fails, get the help that you need, but you need to work on your consciousness as well, your own belief system that may have caused whatever symptoms that you're experiencing. So Bendel describes Holmes at that point in his life as a man who was on a retreat. He spent a lot of time every day in meditation, and he really felt that once his wife died, he really didn't want to live anymore. And his drive was to see the Founders Church in L.A. Completed. And by the way, I have been there.
Yay.
Yeah. And he wanted to make sure that there was an organ there that was dedicated to Hazel, his wife, and he wanted to straighten out a few things in the movement. So these books are pretty remarkable, but it also kind of sets the tone for what he was thinking at that point in his life. So for those of you who may not know, we in religious science, our prayer is called treatment. It's a five-step prayer, and it's an affirmative prayer as opposed to entreating. And so the assumption when you're doing treatment is that you are one with the divine, that you are divine. And so it's the time and the process and the method necessary to redirect our thought, because thought is creative. And it's also another purpose of treatment is to clear any negative thinking or doubt or fear, and for us to be aware of the presence of God. And it's the purpose of treatment is to clear the consciousness of the person doing the praying. And I have to keep reminding myself that I may be praying for, say, David here, or doing a treatment for him. But the truth is I'm really working on my own consciousness. So I thought that was, you know, just hearing that, you know, reading that in this book really brought it home to me. So a couple weekends ago, I heard Abraham, who was saying something about Jesus, who was healing, because when he looked at his subjects, he only saw wholeness. So he didn't see illness. There was nothing to heal from. So his thoughts were already pretty well cleared out. And for many of us, we have well-rutted thought patterns in our brain that we repeat over and over again. And we understand as religious scientists that one of the most important things we can do to improve the conditions in our life is to work on our thoughts. So when you look around the world, there's archangels out there someplace. There are toadstools, there are rocks, there are coffee cups, tables, and all of that. And this is really interesting, but they all have some degree of consciousness. And it differs, I guess, between, you know, this is not going to get up and talk to me right now, but it does have some consciousness. And once I got done reading through that passage, which was, there can't be a physical manifestation or a universe that is separated from the mental, and the mental can't be separated from the spiritual. I read that, and my mind was like, what? And then I realized that another way to say this is that the material world can't be separated from the spiritual. So Holmes says that we don't materialize spirit and we don't spiritualize matter. We are not using a spiritual power to make a material law work in accord with good. And we're not using a mental power to control a physical power that's out of line. So you got to understand, when you're reading this book, I was talking to Connie earlier, he's really talking to people. He's not sitting out trying to write something well organized. So maybe some of this, you know, it's kind of hard to get your mind wrapped around. But, I mean, basically, if I had to sum up Holmes, I would say that it's all love. And you said that in your last talk, so I heard that. And that's what I get from this book, is that it's all love. So there's nothing in this world that exists outside of our own imagination. And we're not denying physical forms or the mental equivalents, but we're postulating the theory that the mental image in mind and the form it takes are not two different things. They're one. They're equal, identical, and interchangeable. And, you know, that makes sense. So I read that over and over again. And the thing that popped in my mind was the Beatles song, I Am the Walrus. I am he, as you are he, as you are me, and we are all together. Remember that?
Uh-huh. That's interesting.
Yeah, right. So the key to healing is to recognize that we're living in a spiritual universe right now, and that there's no difference between the mind and what the mind does, or the thought, and the thinker. And there's also a component of faith in this. And I love the story he tells about coming home one night. And he says, where the golden Sierras keep watch over the valley's bloom. He's talking about his environment at home. And at that point in time, there were no Sierras in sight because of the smog. But the mountains were still there. They can't get up and say, we're tired of this place, we're moving on. And so when the smog is cleared up, the mountains are visible. But he says that whatever clears up the smog will not be conscious of the smog, or it'll continue to grow. So I thought that was really interesting. So whatever cleared up the fog, the smog was not conscious of it. And so again, he saw the mountains again. And I thought, wow, that's an amazing, you know, just good graphical image. So you and I are all spiritual beings, and we live in specific places at specific times. But with our consciousness, we can produce things for which we have awareness or thoughts or desires. And the laws of nature still persist, but at the same time, the law of attraction is always at work. And so the same is true of ourselves. There is a part of us that has a relationship with all that is. That's the divine within us. And Holmes says, this is the life within. We make it the law of our own being, each individually, that everything he touches shall be made whole right now. Wherever he walks, there is the light of heaven. Now, let's not say, this is too good for me, or I'm not good enough for it. The light is there anyhow, and all we are doing is recognizing it. And it is there. And we are that, and we can't help it. So we might as well accept it and drop everything out of thought that denies it. And so it is.